Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. We all know that April showers bring May flowers, but what else is April bringing? From the return of outdoor dining to allergy-proofing your house and cool local events, this is your guide to April in Salt Lake. It's Monday, April 1st. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake, a daily hyperlocal podcast just for you. Meg Walter, welcome. You're a columnist for the Deseret News, and that is not a joke, but happy April 1st.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here. April Fools? No, I'm happy to be here. I'm not joking.
Are you a prankster?
No.
Is this your day?
No. And what's tragic about that is I come from, my heritage is the best prankster of all time, my mother. April Fools. My mom is the nicest person. She's sweet. She's blonde. She's small. Vicious prankster. Every year, well into college, she would get me with April Fool's pranks.
I love that.
I know.
I tried to look into the origin of April Fool's Day for this episode. I thought that could be interesting. But every article was like, nobody knows. But I do think April Fool's Day, I like to think of it more as like the kickoff to like frisky season.
Frisky,
like, you don't have
season
to prank someone on April Fool's Day. Like, it doesn't have to be done today. I think spring is just for like shenanigans.
Okay.
So, I
love that energy. I, as a child, misunderstood what April Fool's Day was and thought we could just make any holiday blank Fool's Day. So like I do like November Fool's Day. Why did I let go of that? Because it seems like a pretty good idea still.
I mean, you could keep going. For anyone who wants to get into the prank game, since you were raised by the best, like what was some of your mom's best work?
Okay, so one year she bought fake poop and then put it in a corner and blamed us.
No, what?
Yeah.
That's like kind of cynical.
I know. I'm telling you, you would meet this woman and be like, nicest woman alive. And then you'd learn about the pranks and be like, monster.
So there's a darkness to this.
Oh, absolutely. What's April Fool's is dark. April Fool's is about lying to people.
Well, it doesn't have to be. I had a coworker once who pranked us for April Fool's. I guess this is kind of dark, but she just moved everything to the other side of our desks. So like you'd go to reach for your pen and it's like on the left side of your computer instead of the right. And you're like, it's subtle enough that you start to feel crazy.
That's very like Jim Halpert coded.
Yeah, it is. I mean, an office prank is pretty iconic.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I love that. Well, I did find one event, quick idea here to get us started. It is, of course, baseball season. Soon we may have a Major League Baseball team here, TBD.
But
so excited. Tonight, April 1st at 6 p.m., the University of Utah baseball team is playing UVU at Smith's Ballpark. And it's such an easy family outing. Tickets are like 10 bucks. But the first 300 people get a free whoopee cushion.
But who's giving out whoopee cushions? I love that.
The University of Utah. It's like their April Fool's Day way to entice you to go to the game. And I'm like, that's hysterical.
That's
like
hysterical.
Picturing the entire Smith's ballpark full of 300 people sitting on whoopee cushions. Like, I hope I can hear them at my house.
I got to tell you.
A mile away.
My son, for his fifth birthday, got a whoopee cushion. A whoopee cushion is funny once. Mm. Any whoopee cushion activation after that first time gets real old real quick. So maybe careful what you wish for as someone who has lived through that.
Good point. Okay, so we're here to talk about April. And I think you and I could probably agree that the best thing that happens during spring in Salt Lake is the return of outdoor dining.
Amen.
being outside takes all the planning out of having fun. I feel like you could just tell people that whatever you're doing at a table outside, and immediately it's kind of a party.
Yes. Patio dining is like such a release of that burden of having to do everything inside all winter. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait.
I know a lot of places with patios that I enjoy, and I'll share them, but a lot of them are bars. You have kids. Where is kid-friendly dining? Outside, where kids belong.
We're suburban sellouts, and so a lot of my places are like the Draper Sandy area.
Give them to me.
Slackwater. Sandy has a great Slackwater location with a lovely patio that's shaded. So even in the dead of summer, it's like comfortable and nice. Great place where you can take your time. Food kids will enjoy. We're Slackwater patio regulars. Beaumont, which is, I think it's Cottonwood Heights.
Is it Beaumont Bakery?
Yeah, by the Dans up there. Is it Cottonwood Heights? Holiday.
Yeah, Mill Creek. I think that's Mill Creek.
It's one of those. Yep. They have a lovely patio, also great for summer dining. Also, like French fries and grilled cheese for kids, menu for all ages. And also Lone Star. We are at Lone Star once a week in the summer. And you kind of have to be a little cunning to find a seat. You kind of have to like stare people down, you know, and make them feel guilty for lingering as long as they have. And then swoop in as soon as they stand up to get their garbage. But great patio dining and great food.
Are you talking about Lone Star Taqueria at like Fort Union?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah. I've never eaten there.
I love it.
Is it affordable?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's affordable anymore? I mean, but like we went the other night and it was $60 for our family, which like kind of makes me want to throw up, but is also kind of par for the course lately.
Family of four. Yeah.
Five.
Oh, that's right.
What about you? What are your patio dining faves?
Okay, so I'm a dog owner. I do feel like this is the real like urban suburban kind of Salt Lake divide. Yeah. Like you're kid-friendly dining, and in Salt Lake City, we know that now we have more dogs than kids. Mm-hmm. So we're like dog-friendly patios are our thing. Every year Salt Lake County puts out this list of restaurant patios approved to allow dogs. I never fully appreciated how much work goes into it. I was looking at it this morning and like there's a full application process. So if you're a restaurant in Salt Lake and you want this like to be on this special list and get the sign that says dog friendly patio, you have to pay a $360 application fee. Isn't that crazy? And you have to renew it every year for $140.
Really? Why?
Well, I don't want to speculate too much, but like I think it has to do with the fact that like because you're a food service establishment, you get this okay from the health department and it might make other things easier for you related to having dogs in or around your business.
Makes sense.
But anyway, on that list is the Cotton Bottom Inn. Uh-huh. Have you been there?
No.
That's also a fun kid spot.
It is, and it's right by that great park. And mm-hmm. I keep meaning to try it and then keep not trying it, but tell me about it.
Okay, so the Cotton Bottom Inn is in, is that Cottonwood Heights?
I think it's Holiday.
That's Cottonwood Heights. The Cottonwood Heights Mill Creek Holiday Triangle is like a Bermuda Triangle for zip codes. I just don't, when I'm in there, I'm like, exactly. I'm just here. This is where I am.
But it's over there.
It's over there. It's over there by one of the Cottonwood Canyons. And so it's like this cute little kind of, I wouldn't call it a shack. It's like a cute little restaurant. But then out front, they have all these great picnic tables and one giant tree that kind of lays over them. So you get nice shade. It's really casual. You can get a drink, but it's not technically a bar. So you can like bring your kids. They make a garlic burger that is out of this world. Their fries are excellent. It's just a nice time, especially if you're like maybe doing a hike up Mill Creek or one of the Cottonwood Canyons. Great place to stop after and have a snack. Grid City Brewery in South Salt Lake has a rooftop that you can bring your dog up to.
What?
April is a great time of year to get up there because it's still kind of cool. By July, that rooftop is on fire and neither you nor your paws want to be on it. And then Level Crossing Brewery, also in South Salt Lake, recently reworked their patio, and they did a gorgeous redesign.
Okay, I love it.
You know who you might be surprised to see on this dog-friendly patio list?
Tell me.
Log Haven?
Oh, really?
Which is like one of the most expensive, fancy, like special occasion restaurants in, I feel like, Salt Lake County.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can bring your pup to dinner.
Okay.
On your anniversary.
I have a not kid-friendly, but like the premier patio dining location, Franck's, yeah. which you guys talked about on your March guide. I had a very one-sided conversation with you and Emily during the March guide episode.
Oh, okay.
Franck's has the best patio on a summer night.
Is this because we were talking about where you can get escargot in March related to the Ides of March and you were yelling France at your car?
No, but I do have an escargot place to talk about coming up later in the episode. So stay tuned okay. for that. But okay. you were talking about France and it did remind me of how wonderful their patio is. It's a splurge, so you're not going to go often, but do go once this summer and enjoy sitting in the shade on a July evening.
I love it. Yeah, not on the dog-friendly list and not necessarily kid-friendly. Ivy and Varley, if you want to do like a brunch, it Ooh, is a yeah. bar, but that patio downtown is so lovely.
It's there's a lovely like patio.
Ivy on the walls. There's a big fountain out there. It just makes you want to linger. They often have a DJ. I also think Ruth's in Emigration Canyon, underrated patio situation back there.
It is a good patio situation. Yeah. And it's always like hopping. There's always a million people back there. It feels like a party.
Yeah. And kind of a diner menu. So it's really casual. Like, again, you can roll in hiking clothes or like honestly pajamas and have a nice time totally. And be accepted. And then remiss not to mention the Hog Wallow, which is also in the Holiday, Cottonwood Heights, Mill Creek. But people are going to call and yell at us about not knowing the delineations here. Triangle. That Hog Wallow patio is magical.
Where's Hog
It's
Wallow?
Like a secret garden.
Don't tell me the city because you clearly don't know it. But like, what's it near?
It's in Salt Lake. Okay. So if you're basically like on the same road as the Cotton Bottom, they share kind of a road.
Oh, okay.
So actually, my favorite thing to do is to put my name in at the Hog Wallow because there's often a wait to get on the patio. And then they're going to tell you, oh, it's 30 minutes or it's an hour. Then you go up to the Cotton Bottom. You have a burger. You enjoy it. You go back to the Hog Wallow and then you like sit on the patio and have a drink because it's a bar.
Perfect summer night.
Perfect summer night. Patio hopping. Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's Day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's, or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Okay, the other thing that happens in spring and in April is garden planting. And Meg, last year, when you were planting a lot of things in your home garden. I so enjoyed following on Instagram your trial with deer and figuring out how to deer-proof your home. What did you learn?
Okay.
What can we all learn from your adventure?
Let me say that I used to be a deer supporter, lover, enthusiast.
Oh, no.
Seeing a deer in the wild was such a thrill, okay? The deer in Sandy think this house is their house. Like, there was a buck on our street a while ago just, like, hanging out. Like, full rack of antlers just out there. And I'm like, what am I in the wildlife? What is... Anyway, I've turned into, like, the hunter from Bambi where I'm like, I want these things gone. I have no sympathy for deer anymore. And I know I sound like a monster, but they will decimate your garden. They will just chomp off... They won't just like eat a tomato. They'll like chomp off half the plant. Like you're ruined. So as you said, I kind of went to war with these creatures and I threw everything at the wall to see what would stick. So I'm not sure which of these remedies worked exactly, or maybe it was a combination of all of them together. But I really pulled up out all the stops. You actually recommended planting marigolds. So I planted marigolds in the garden because they smell kind of weird and repel the deer.
By the way, when I recommended that, it was one of those things where I just had heard that my whole life. I had no idea if it was fact or fiction.
Well, it might have worked.
Okay.
I bought little blinking red lights that look like predator eyes.
No.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's insane. They're solar powered, so they charge all day and they blink all night. Okay. I cut up ivory spring soap and scattered it through the garden because that smell, too, is supposed to help repel them.
How did anything grow in this garden, Meg? It sounds like a trash dump.
It was a trash. And it smelled terrible.
No, it's probably smelled like you just walked out of Versailles. Like
it smelled like a park bathroom. I also bought liquid fence. So we live in like kind of an older neighborhood. And one of my older neighbors read a column I wrote in Deseret News. My favorite thing about having a column in Deseret News is like all my old neighbors read it and want to talk about it. And one of them was like, you have to try liquid fence. And so I ordered liquid fence. This stuff, okay, so really, truly, we've got like park bathroom because it's supposed to mimic coyote pee. Smells awful. It smells awful. But I sprayed it like a border around my garden and didn't have any deer issues last year. So
poison is the answer.
The key is your garden should smell absolutely awful. Your garden should smell like an outhouse and you will have repelled the deer.
Oh,
my tomatoes were wonderful last year. Okay.
That is honestly the most discouraging thing you possibly could have said related to our Earth Day segment, Meg Walter.
Well, guess what I did this year? I built a fence so I don't have to do any of those things. That's the real key. Wrought iron, put it in the ground.
Was any of this rewarding? Because, like, I live in an apartment. I mean, I know you can rent a plot. We have a whole episode about ways that you can kind of indoor garden, whether that's like growing herbs and whatnot. But how rewarding is it versus the like work and cost to be gardening at home?
So rewarding.
Really?
So I find so much life and joy out of gardening. This year for Christmas, my husband gave me, I don't know the name of the store, but there's like a hemp growing store downtown. He went and he got a grow light and like a carbon filter to filter out the air in our basement and bought me some racks and a bunch of seeds so I could start seeds early and have them ready to go in the garden. I probably spend an hour a day in there just babying my plants, watering them, pruning them, prepping them for the garden. We just put soil in our boxes outside. Like, it is so nice to have like a thing that you can be devoted to that just like does what you tell it to. Like, it grows the way you tell it to, and you have control over it, and you can reap the rewards. Sure, you're paying like 8 times as much as you would pay for a tomato at the grocery store, if not more. But I personally find so much joy in it.
Are there any local resources that you use to get your garden going besides old wives' tales from the people of Instagram and your neighbors?
I mean, the people at Cactus and Tropical are really helpful. IFA, IFA on a Saturday, you're going to get all kinds of advice from all kinds of people. My neighbors who have lived here a long time and have learned a lot of tricks. Other than that, not really.
Do you do Earth Day stuff with your kids? It's a Monday this year, April 22nd, but I feel like there are a lot of celebrations on the weekend. Do you guys go to the cleanups?
I would love to tell you yes, but that would be a lie.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you?
I have done the Dimple Dell cleanup that's put on by the Dimple Dell Preservation Society for a couple years. It's fun because you kind of just – Dimple Dell, I think, is one of the crown jewels of Salt Lake County. It's in your backyard in the Sandy Draper area. It's this like 600-plus acre equestrian trail network and park. And the way that they do the cleanup there is really nice. You show up Saturday morning and they kind of just like give you a trash bag and are like – go do your thing. Like, pick an area, and when you're done, you know, which I like. It's a low lift. You can socialize or you can pop in some headphones. But this year, Salt Lake City is also coordinating a number of Jordan River Earth Day cleanups. And one of them sounds kind of chaotic. They're doing, like, kayak cleanups. And they are very specifically described as not for the faint of heart. But you, like... or I guess it's a canoe float. You're like in a boat floating down the river and like pulling trash out of the river.
Oh gosh.
In your boat. I know, but also like, doesn't it kind of sound like a hoot?
It sounds like a hoot, but also like, are they going to test everyone to make sure they know how to swim prior to setting them sail in these canoes to clean up trash?
I think that, you know, in so many ways, Earth Day is about taking personal responsibility. Sure. And this event is no different.
Yes, sure. Makes a lot of sense.
The other holiday that we have related to the Earth in April is Arbor Day, which is your anniversary, is it not?
Well, apparently Arbor Day is like Thanksgiving and it's on a Friday every year.
Oh.
Which is kind of hilarious. Yeah, because like—
I didn't know that.
Who's keeping track of Arbor Day except for me, because we got married on Arbor Day. And listen to how adorable we are. For our favors to give to our guests, we gave everybody a little tiny tree to plant. That's in cute. Their backyard. Yeah, I don't think any of them survived, but it was a fun thought.
Yeah, that is a fun thought. And it's better than like kind of just taking home stuff.
Buttermints.
Yeah, Jordan almonds.
No, I mean, who doesn't love a buttermint and Jordan almond? But a tree's pretty great.
Yeah. Well, Arbor Day is free at Red Butte Garden, which for me as someone who doesn't have a home garden and isn't interested in going to war with the many deer in this valley, Red Butte is my garden. I like to go and okay. look at the bulbs and be like, good work, everybody.
You did it.
You did it.
Also a great place
These
to take kids.
These flowers are stunning. Also a great place to
they
take
They have
kids.
Primo playgrounds at Red Butte.
Yeah. And in April, like, you can catch a lot of sun up there because you're kind of up in the hillside by the university. It's just stunning. Arbor Day, April 26th, is free admission for everyone, and they will also give you a tiny tree. So Aww. This year they're giving away bur oak trees, hawthorns, and white mulberries. Personally, I think I'd want the white mulberry. But I don't know why. I just think mulberry sounds the cutest.
Because you saw it on Mulberry Street.
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
That is so great. I'm going to check that out with my children.
Okay. Another thing I want to tackle with you, related, I think, to trees, heavily related to trees, is allergies. Because this is the time of year when, yes, the sun is coming out. Yes, we're feeling good. Yes, we are opening our hearts and minds to summer. But for a lot of us, we're also suffering. And I recently learned, because Therina, who writes our Hey Salt Lake newsletter, did this lovely write-up on allergy-proofing your home. Mm-hmm. And I learned how allergies work for the first time in my life. It's incredible how many things we just walk around talking about like we know, and then you actually learn about it,
yeah.
And it's crazy. Which is that pollen doesn't actually make you sick. Allergies are when your immune system wrongfully identifies something as dangerous.
Okay.
So they're basically like, it's a mistaken identity situation where your body is like, oh, that's bad. And then it reacts by trying to fight something that isn't actually really there to hurt you at all.
Got it.
So here's the deal. There are things that we can do to allergy-proof our home. And when I was looking through this list of things, I was like, these just look like spring cleaning. Oh my God, is this why we spring clean? Is it actually about allergy proofing our home in the first place? Not getting rid of like old toys.
I hate it when the answer is like, you gotta clean out things.
I know. The answer's right under our runny noses.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. You need to wash your sheets and pillowcases often because they have dust and
dirt. I do that.
Clean your fridge.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Wait, what? I hate what allergies are growing in the fridge?
Mold.
Well, okay. I think that's like, we all throw away moldy things, right?
Right. But like, I think about like when a cucumber's in your fridge too long and it starts to get kind of syrupy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then like that residue stays there. You seem like a woman with a clean fridge. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a woman with fridge. I'm talking to myself here. I need to clean the
fridge. I've gone full garden psycho. I have like compost now. So now I'm like actively looking for things to put in my compost bin. So I'm throwing away vegetables before they're even bad. Because I'm like so excited to compost them.
Yeah. You're like on to the next phase of your life. Vegetable.
Exactly.
Okay. Here's the one that I found kind of the most distressing but also really helpful to know is that opening your windows at night can aggravate your allergies more than opening your windows in the day.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
Which is so sad. I know, because spring is when we start to open our windows, and that's one of the reasons that April's so incredible in Salt Lake. But as air cools, it brings pollen grains down. So it creates like this allergen shower when the air cools. So nighttime is actually when there are more allergens in the air than day, even though we would think if we're allergic to pollen, daytime, like the flowers, hello, blooming, that's when we're the most aggravated, but it's not.
Well, I am so disappointed to hear that. Can I just take a Benadryl and call it good?
I think that you can.
Okay, thank you.
The theme of this conversation is personal responsibility.
You're going to get so many emails.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
The thing you can do, Meg, is you can go to pollen.com and just check the pollen count for Salt Lake every single day and determine day by day how you want to navigate this month.
Is it like we have red, orange air quality days? Is it similar?
Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Like you can zoom in and around for where you want to be. And then it will give you like a little pollen forecast.
Love that. Yeah. Thank you, pollen.com. Are they a sponsor
of
this show?
No, though if they'd like to, they can email kate.forsberg@citycast.fm. Okay, Meg, before I let you go, I want to ask you what your pick of the month is. We've talked about so much. If you do one thing this month, what's it going to be?
I'm going to go spring skiing. Listen,
we're supposed to get more storms in early April. Like, we're not done with snow.
I don't care. I don't care about the storms. I am not a hard skier anymore. I am a nice sunny day, leisurely half day skier. Spring skiing is the best because the snow's like slushy and soft. Yeah. Like, it's not like powder where you're like, where'd my ski go? I don't know. The snow's up to my knees. It could be back there somewhere. Better hike up. And it's not like ice when it's like freezing and everything's blown out. And you're like, if I fall, I'm going to die. Spring skiing is just nice and slow and the perfect excuse to eat lunch at a resort.
Ah, what's your favorite resort?
My favorite resort? That's hard. Okay, well, I grew up at Sundance. So like, nostalgia leads me to say Sundance because when I go to Sundance, it feels like home. But I skied Alta for the first time this year. Alta is so great. Don't allow snowboarders. I'm so sorry to the snowboarding community, but it is very fun for skiers. And we had lunch at the top and had escargot there. They serve escargot mid-mountain at
Alta.
Isn't that wild? Don't love it. I don't love escargot, but it's fun that you can order it there. And the other food was great.
Wow. That is the most Alta thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, of course they're eating. Everyone in this valley is suspicious that what they're doing up there at Alta is eating escargot on the top of the mountain.
I'm here to confirm
it. You affirming that is crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I can't miss this spring. I'm going spring skiing. I'm going to take a couple runs. I'm going to have a nice leisurely lunch outside the lodge. What about you?
I love it. I mean, according to the Salt Lake Tribune, Sundance is going to be closed by April 7th. We've got Alta and Park City Mountain closing down April 21st and 22nd. Like, this is the time to get it done. Make use of that pass you haven't made full use of yet this year.
Absolutely.
This month.
Take a Friday. Go ski.
Okay. My pick of the month is the Happy Wine Club Wine Walk Around. Ooh. Have you heard of the Happy Wine Club?
No. Tell me everything.
I think it's kind of a special thing because we have such tight liquor laws in Utah. There aren't that many like wine clubs or gatherings. Like we can't really do wine of the month here and stuff like that. But it was started by this guy and they do these like really fun natural wine events. They started over at the Ruin on Main Street and they've been at Nona on 9th South. And this feels like kind of a culmination of the past year of the Happy Wine Club growing. They're doing what they're calling a wine walk around. It's called the Don't Trip Wine Walk Around, which I think is pretty funny.
That is funny.
It's on a Sunday. It's on Sunday, April 7th from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Public on West Temple. I love that it is on a Sunday because one of the complaints we hear a lot in the city is like, there's nothing to do on a Sunday. Everything's closed. Like, stop forcing me to just like enjoy time with my family and be, you know, chilling. I want to do stuff. So it's $40 for a ticket and there'll be a DJ. There's going to be 12 different winemakers. So you get a sample, a tasting from all 12 with your ticket. And then my guys, thank you for the short notice and the Sunburst Fog Oyster Company, which I feel like I'm constantly shouting out on this show. They're going to be there doing smash burgers and shucking fresh oysters.
Yum.
Which you can also buy. It's a 21 and up event. I will say if you're like new here or you're just like looking to make friends or be in kind of a young, cool crowd, this is the place. Like every time I go to one of these events, I'm like, everyone here is really beautiful and fun.
Ooh.
Like, where do you guys live? What do you guys, what are you doing after
what
this?
What are we doing? Yeah, you want to hang out?
Where are we going? So that's my pick for sure.
I love that. I hope you have so much fun at your Don't Trip Wine Club.
Thank you. Knowing me, I'll probably trip. Meg Walter, columnist for the Deseret News. Thank you so much. What fun. Have a great month.
Thanks for having me. You too.
As always, you will find a list of all the events and resources Meg and I mentioned in the episode description. And if you're on the lookout for more daily events and guides to our city, subscribe to our Hey Salt Lake newsletter. It's a daily 5-minute read that complements our podcast. It's fry sauce for our show. That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. What did we miss? Email me at saltlake@citycast.fm. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.